Today's sermon is entitled Yoking Around, because I just felt like it's time for us to get fully yoked into the things that God has got. Last week, we looked at the truths that we're all members of the body of Christ, and as members of the body of Christ, we have a responsibility. And that responsibility, as Ephesians 4:16 says, is that we grow and build ourselves up. That it's not just enough for my body to be sedentary and to eat good food. My body has to be active. And the more active I am, the more deliberate I am in an exercise regime, the healthier my body is, the happier my life tends to be. And so just as that, as the body of Christ, we have to grow and build ourselves up by each part doing its specific work. And there is something for you to be doing within the body of Christ, within a context. And we understood that we all have that mandate, that we are all responsible to take the grace gifting that God put on our lives and to sacrifice it, make an offering of it in service to the Lord. The faithful administration of God's grace on my life is what I'm supposed to do for the body of Christ, being faithful in the administration of His grace on me. I like the idea. Tyler was just saying in the service that many of us get to use our grace on behalf of our family. Many of us get to use our grace on behalf of our career and our company. But every now and again, you get to use your grace only for the Lord. See, if I use the strengths of my life to benefit my family, it also benefits me. I'm also, if I use the strength of my life in my career, I get a salary back for that. But when I use the strength of my life and I dedicate it to the Lord, that's entirely to the Lord. My reward is not in this life, but it waits for me on the other side. And I suspect that it's like a first fruits offering, that if you give the best of your strength, the best of your grace first to the Lord, it becomes like a first fruits offering, that it's given first to Him, and then whatever is given to Him is made holy when you use it anywhere else. Does that make sense? I like that idea. 1 Timothy 3:13 says, if you're diligent in service, those who serve well gain two things, an excellent standing and a great assurance. And that's a helpful thing. So we looked at all of these things, and we just realized that as a natural body is demonstrably benefited by a commitment to exercise, so in the body of Christ, in Christ, we are demonstrably benefited by active service to other people. And we realize that when we do that, the practical reality in a natural body is that exercise will help you live longer, give you greater stamina, you'll be more flexible, you'll have stronger bones, you'll be less susceptible to injury, you'll have a vibrant metabolism, and you'll sleep better. You'll feel happier, you'll be less stressed, you'll have an elevated self-esteem, you'll be less susceptible to anxiety, it'll boost your ability to focus and pay attention. All natural, real results of a diligent exercise routine. In the same way, when we commit ourselves to regular service in the context of a local church, it brings life in almost every aspect of our spiritual walk. It is one of the healthiest spiritual disciplines that I can suggest. There simply isn't a substitute for it. And so every year, at the beginning of the year, without qualm, without hesitation, and without apology, I ask our people, I do everything I can, I'm as convincing as I possibly can be to say to people, you ought to commit yourself in service in a local expression of the church. And when you have been faithful for years in the local expression of the church, the Lord may call you to a translocal expression, in which case you travel and you minister at a global scale in many, many other places. But there is never going to be a point in my life when I'm not committed to service to the body of Christ somewhere. And we all have to start somewhere, and that means in the local church. So I just say that there simply isn't any way around this. I believe that it is the most effective thing that I can tell you to do that'll help you grow up spiritually and build muscle. So I want to look at something that Jesus said that I think will help us with this decision. And it's in Matthew 11, and let's go there. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The basic idea of a yoke, and I'll show you some pictures here, is that it is fitted across the shoulder, distributing weight and enabling natural movement comfortably. This lady on the left, and there are many, many photos like that of many different cultures and ethnicities, all have a similar kind of idea. That the issue is this lady is able to carry 2 pails of water a long distance because she puts a yoke on her neck, and that yoke distributes the weight and makes it easier for her to carry that weight. If the yoke was not there, she would tire extremely quickly. The yoke is a mechanism of ease that you can get a lot more productivity done with a lot less stress. A yoke is a stress decreasing implement. And if a yoke like that is fitted to it, you see the yoke on the left there is for, on the right is for two oxen, and the two oxen are put in together. That yoke is to put people in team. It locks them in. The oxen can't just pull at different times and in different ways and in different direction. A yoke locks them in so that they work together to pull in a specific direction. And the synergy of these two oxen in unity can create a massive effect that they can get a lot more done because the two oxen are pulling together. So a yoke produces ease, it builds, if there's in the team, it builds a focus and brings about something. If you're going to put two oxen in that yoke, you must be careful to match them, because if the one is tall and the one is short, it's going to dig into the short one. If the one is strong and the one is weak, it's going to dig into the weaker. That's why the scripture says, be equally yoked. This unequal yoking is for your protection, because where there's unequal yoking, somebody's getting dug into, probably both sides of the yoke are hurting. So you have to be careful about that. But Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. That's a very interesting word. It literally means, and I will rest you. I will refresh you. Come and rest up is probably the most colloquial way of saying it. Jesus said, come and rest up with me. I'll give you release. I'll give you peace. And then he said, for my yoke is easy. And that's a very interesting word. The yoke is easy means a well-fitted, suitable, kind, useful, and good yoke. This idea of a yoke that you can put on, you just put on anything hard. Now, if you put on something that has been uniquely fitted for you, it feels good, and it enables you to accomplish a lot more with a lot less stress. So I want to walk us through that, and let's just talk about that a little bit. Jesus said, number one, come to me. All who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In this ever-increasing complexity of my life, it's easy for me to get too busy to come to Jesus and ask him what his priorities are. It's like, I don't have time to spend an hour waiting on the Lord to say, Lord, what do you have for me? Don't you realize how much I've got to get done? Don't tell me I need to go wait another hour. I don't have another hour. And I just want to say, I suggest that you coming to Jesus as first priority is going to save you a whole load of effort and stress, because if you come to him and he fits a yoke on you, you'll be able to carry double what you used to carry and it won't hurt. Here we go. I don't have time to come to Jesus. Jesus said, okay, guys, here's the first part. Come to me. If you come to me, you'll discover rest. The prioritization that occurs when I listen and wait on him is invaluable. When I come and wait on him, he reorients, he reprioritizes attitudes and values in my heart. Suddenly, life changes, perspective alters, and I start going, that's what I should do. Come to me, Jesus said. And there are so many good things that I can engage in. There are a lot of things that we can all get involved in. And not every good thing that I've got involved in is because God wanted me to be involved in it. And some of the good things that I've been involved with have started to dig into my shoulders. If you're going to tweet something out of this message, tweet this. Fields that God did not call me to work in have ill-fitting yokes. Fields that God did not call me to work in have ill-fitting yokes. If Jesus didn't call you to work in the field, he didn't create a yoke for you for that field, and that field then typically tends to be hurtful and harmful and tiresome. Jesus said, come to me and you'll find rest. The implication is that when you go to others, it won't be restful. Bible says Jesus got out the boat and he looked at the crowd and he saw that they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. But Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me between still waters. He restores my soul." The implication is when you submit to the shepherd, you have restoration of soul. But when you don't have a shepherd, you are harassed and helpless. So seeking the Lord by a deliberate process of prayer, asking him to direct our paths, to give us wisdom. What do I need to take on, Lord? What can I do? That, come to me, that leads to rest. And often with our plates too full of other people's yokes, we decline the yoke of service in a local church. I see this quite often. And it's hard to ask people because you see, they're stressed, like harassed, stressed. Your paths crossed and you go, "I think Jesus has got a yoke for you." Go, "Don't talk to me about yokes. I got too many yokes on. I just need to throw some off. Don't talk to me about, I don't need another yoke. Here comes Greg. He won't tell me I have to serve in the church." Yeah. This yoke is easy. This yoke is light. This yoke is burden removing. This yoke frees you up. I'm not so sure the answer is keep the world's yoke and shun this one. Somehow it makes great sense under the stress of too much on my plate that the thought of an added yoke for the kingdom seems impossible. But people who are in the kingdom's harness find purpose and clarity and joy and hope and rest. Jesus said, "Come to me." Now, I understand that if you're in Christ, he's always in you and you're always in him and he never leaves you. I get that. But Jesus said, "Come to me." The practice of his proximity. Sometimes I forget that I'm in him and I need to practice this proximity. I need to be intentional about my turning to him. "Oh, I forgot, Lord. Okay, I know you're here. Here I am, Lord. And so where do you want me to serve, Lord?" Because when I put on his yoke, it adds eternal value to the mundane. It sparks motivation because I'm not serving these people, I'm serving him. Our confidence grows because I'm starting to log obedience hours in heaven. Months maybe, years. And you know what happens when you've logged years of faithful service to the king? You don't want to do anything else. You don't want nothing to jeopardize that. I'm just like, "Sign me up. What's next, Lord? I want to live my whole life now. I want to die in the yoke. I want to live my entire life serving." And there is an excitement that's released inside of me when I step into his call, when I put on his yoke. It feels right and ignites something on the inside of me. Jesus said, "Come to me." Number two, he said, "Take my yoke." Take my yoke on you. Jesus' yoke is fitted for you. And if he puts his yoke on you, you'll find a resting place. Yeah, that just doesn't make sense, Greg. Well, if you've put on a well-fitted yoke, everything becomes easy. The burden you were carrying is halved. And there are going to be some places in our lives when we go where it's not going to be jaw-droppingly exciting. But there is a pathway that he has in mind for you. It's not going to be wildly exciting every time. Sometimes it's just service. But I want you to know that God has uniquely fashioned a yoke for you because he knit you together in your mother's womb. He has called you for a specific purpose. He has planned something for you. And when he puts a yoke on you, the yoke of service, it fits you. He said, "Take my yoke on you." Don't take somebody else's yoke. Take my yoke. Put my yoke on. Because you put my yoke on, you'll find rest for your soul. And the weird thing is that sometimes when I share the deep passions of my heart, I'm sharing with other members of the body of Christ, and I can see it's not ringing bells for them. They're happy for me that that's my passion, but it's not what God called them to. And they go, "Well, that's great. You know, I'm happy. Go for it." I go, "What's in your heart?" Then they come shiny eye and they talk about something that lives in them. That's my dream. That's my passion. And I go, I can see how important that is, but it's not my thing. But you go. Put your yoke on. Lean into the traces. Pull your weight behind it. I'm so proud and grateful that you're here because that's not what I do. But praise God, go for it because I need you. And a warrior comes alive in battle. An organizer is ignited by mess. See, if you're a poet and you have to put on the warrior's yoke, like, I don't want to go to battle. I'll write about it afterwards, but don't make me go. But if you're a warrior, if you're wired as a warrior, if there is a fire in your belly, and then somebody gives you a warrior's yoke, you go, oh, this fits, and there's place for my sword. Look at that. See? Great worship is often written in darkness. Not everything about when you put the yoke on is going to be sunshine and roses, but for you, everything about God's yoke and His call on your life is to ignite you to become who He created you to be. His dream for you is made manifest on the other side of you putting your head in the yoke that He fashions for you. Jesus has a design for our lives. He's purposed provision along the way. He's gone ahead of us with good works, which the Bible says He's prepared in advance for us to do. He has set up bombs of joy along your pathway. You are set to trigger bombs of joy and peace, moments of encounter. He has wired the path ahead of you with everything you need for life and godliness. And He says, take my yoke, which is the amalgam of His direction, the things that He invites you to and the things He shakes His head at. What He binds and looses for you is what is called the yoke. That's what the rabbis called the yoke. What they said was bound and loose. This is my yoke. And Jesus said, take my yoke on you. Both His call, and that is what He invites you to, and what He says for you not to do, are for your best. They're a firm pathway. It goes by many different vistas and through all seasons. Sometimes you're going to be in winter in harness. Sometimes it's going to be spring in harness. Sometimes it's going to be pretty in harness. Sometimes it's going to be tough in harness. But taking His yoke is a deliberate thing. Come to me, take my yoke. Now, there are various types of yokes. There are some yokes that I put on myself. Some yokes because I just was inattentive or I wasn't able to say no. I just wasn't watching and I said, I'll do that. And I put some yoke on and now it's digging into me. And I was never supposed to be taking this yoke. Some of us just haven't had time to ask the Lord. Sometimes my own perceptions of what's right and wrong haven't proved to not be right. Well, I think that's a better way. I think I'm going to take that yoke. It looks easier. And then I found out halfway through it's digging into me. And then I go, but that's not the yoke of the Lord. He doesn't. Sometimes there's yokes of slavery. You know, the religion will offer you a lot of yokes that you put your head in. But they're slaves. They make you a slave. And they're ill-fitted. Because you and I are not supposed to be measured by the other things that people decide. We're supposed to be called to the freedom of the gospel. So some people want to put shame or condemnation on the church. Some people want to say, God's judgment is on you, you ugly thing. Here, try this yoke on. Some people want to put wrath and judgment on the church. Don't let religion give you a yoke. It'll kill you. Sometimes the enemy wants to give you a yoke. One of the favorite yokes of the enemy is fear. Here, try this on. This will help you. Okay, No. I didn't receive the Spirit who makes me a slave again to fear. The Holy Spirit never gives me a yoke of fear. He always gives me the yoke of freedom. Sometimes condemnation, sometimes heaviness. Oh, the enemy loves heaviness. Yeah. Okay, you can serve God, but it better be in hard, heavy down pouts. When the joy of the Lord is your strength. Sometimes rejection. Yeah, try this one on. God hates you and so does everyone else. Now go and serve. What about hatred? What about racism? See, the enemy has a whole bunch of yokes. He'd go, yeah, put this on. This will help. No, it won't. Jesus said, take my yoke. So I just got one. If the yoke is not light and restful, it's not from Jesus. Now, I'll tell you the truth. The best advice I can give parents to cause the kingdom to be prioritized in the hearts of their children is to engage with your family in regular, active service in a church. And that service must cost something. Because your children will grow up learning. Jesus is worth this. See, Mom and Dad, they listen to Him. We listen to Him. Jesus is the Lord. Okay, I got this. Okay, Jesus is Lord? Okay, I know how this works. And it must cost them something. And there has to be some time when they go, I really don't want to be doing this. You go, I know, I don't want to be doing it either, but this is what the Lord requires, so we're going to be doing it. The best way for you to build in a prioritization of the King and His kingdom is for you and your family to serve. Every family I know that from little engage their children like this, those children grow up serving the King. That's the most, I tell you the truth, I'm not kidding. That's the best advice I can give you as a parent. How do I help my kids grow up to love Jesus? You serve with them in the church. Jesus said, take my yoke. And so I just got one question. The yokes you currently wear, are they all from Jesus? He said, learn from me. Come to me, take my yoke, learn from me. It's not just the ordering of my priorities in His presence that's important. It's not just putting on the yoke that He offers. It's also learning from Jesus while I'm in the yoke. He said, I'm humble and gentle, and you'll find rest for your souls. So learn from me. So we put our head into the yoke He offers, and then we tune our ears to listen to Him, because He said, listen, I'm not the harsh taskmaster standing with the reins in one hand and a whip in the other, and I'm going to whip you so you get on the pathway. Jesus said, hey, put your head in this yoke and learn from me, because I'm humble and gentle. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to walk with you every step of the way. I'm going to counsel you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to urge you. I'm going to warn you. I'm going to be right here. Come, you can do this. Come on. A little bit now. Breathe. Okay. Push. Here we go. He said, my yoke is easy, well-fitting, suitable, kindly, useful, good. That's what that word means. Well-fitted, kindly, useful, good. And that's why his humility and His gentleness, that's what it does in our lives. Psalm 32:8. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Well, isn't there a way that we all should go? No, He said, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch with my loving eye on you. How cool is that? Come to me, take my yoke. Learn from me. Learn from me. So I want to talk a little bit about Northland's Grace Teams. That's as a backdrop. Because I believe that I want, in fact, I've staked my life on this. I want to give people the profound gift of a place to serve. The profound gift of an opportunity for you to bring the strength that's on your life that God gave you and use it in service to other people. I want this to be the training ground. I want this to be the place you learn. I want this to be the place where it creates the habit of service in your life, and it starts in a local church context. You know what's going to happen? Once you learn this, it's going to spill over into every avenue of your life. You're going to serve the purposes of Christ in your business. You're going to serve the cause of God in your home. You're going to serve the purposes of Jesus in your community. Service becomes a habitual lifestyle, but it starts in a local church. You learn in this context. You learn in a grace environment. You learn service. You learn humility. You learn gentleness as you apply the strength of your life. These are necessary elements, because if I just brought my strength when I thought it was needed, when I thought, you know what, you need my strength right now, so here it comes. Let me serve you by bringing my strength. Not every time is a blessing. More often than not, you blessing me by bringing your strength is crushing something in me. It is our great privilege as leaders of the church to get people together, to call them to serve, to join in a corporate yoke is our great privilege. Now, it requires a lot of work behind the scenes. Gatekeepers who up early, tidying and arranging and preparing and organizing so that we can come and attend and serve. End of last year, we did up 100 boxes and we took them out to the community and we blessed the people, and I loved that. And people came and said, look what we did. And I go, praise God. It was wonderful. Thank you for what you did. But I happen to know that the administration team had worked for weeks and months. They found out how many families needed. They found out the names of the family. They found out how old their kids were. They then went and sourced online, bought the gifts, had them delivered. They bought the food. They figured out where to go. They went to Aldi, bought gift cards. Then they bought wrapping paper and cut it to size. They bought bow and they cut the bows to the size. They bought cellophane, cut that to size. They set out tables. They organized tape. They orchestrated everything. They printed it out in nice, legible ways. They organized everything in here. And then we all walked in and we said, what do we do now? And they go, here, take this list and then write this all, everything you need. And so we all walked in and we took our family and we took our boxes and we wrapped it up and we said, look what we did. And I go, you know what we did? We served. But somebody served us. Somebody created a whole infrastructure. Somebody put a boatload of work in so that we could walk in and serve easily. And so at Northlands, we've created grace teams. And there's a boatload of work that goes on behind the scenes so that you can serve easily. So that it's easy for you to bring your strength. Amen? Is there any member of the admin staff here? I just wanted to honor them just because they did a great job. Anyway, next time you see them, just say, well done. So we ask people who are going to sign up to Grace Teams to go on to membership, become a member. Because guests and visitors to our church have a reasonable assumption that people who are serving and ministering here have been vetted by us. So we're faced with not only the need of motivating people to serve, but to ask them to serve in submission to this vision of this house. We're offering you an opportunity to serve in line with the vision that God's put on this house. And our vision is that we build churches that transform lives. Last year we broke just about every record in the church. Biggest, best, most, everything. This year we're on track to beat all of that. It's a very exciting season. We have churches that are continuing, and a growing number of churches continuing to relate to us. Our missional communities are pumping and more are coming. We have some church plants that are about to be started. Life is exploding on the international front in terms of our impact in the nations. We're starting to feel the momentum shift, and things are starting to move according to the promise of God. We're beginning to step into the promises that we've held on to for many, many years. We're feeling the acceleration. The engine is starting to get up to speed, and I'm so excited about it. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait until we pick up momentum. But your service here fuels all of that. It adds a shaping touch to what God is doing. Your strength is being recorded as part of what God promised us. And when you add your weight to this yoke, you're part of the calling and part of the blessing on the house. It is to your credit, I swear. Sometimes we have people who come in from other churches. Because we're a relatively smallest church, there are a lot of large churches. And when somebody comes in from a different church, somewhere where they got blessed or somewhere where it's bigger, and they come in and they look at this and they go, well, you guys need help. And so they walk in the first week and they start barking orders about where we can change. You know what you need to change about this? And I always want to just grab and go, boop. Just. I'm happy to listen because I really am, but could you do me the honor of just listening to what the Lord has told us to do? Because I know there's a lot of good things going on out there. But what I'm trying to do is be faithful to what the Lord told us to do. I'm not saying we're better than anybody. I'm not saying they're wrong. All I'm trying to do is just stay faithful to what the Lord told this church. See, God planted this church here, and he has a dream for Northlands. And as the angel of the church, the messenger of the church, I'm responsible before him to see that the reason that God planted this church here is maintained pure. That's about my only thing. That's what I do. That's what I do in this church. My unique contribution to the church is to keep us on track on the calling and the purpose of God for this church plant. So that's all I'm doing. I go, yeah, I know. There are unbelievably great ministries all over the city in our country, and I glean from every one of them, and I learn from all of them, and I celebrate all of them. But could you do me the honor of just, before you change something, before you start counseling me, could you do me the honor? Could you give me the respect of just saying, what is the Lord saying to you? That's why we ask people, before you come and serve in one of our grace teams, would you give us the honor of coming to the About Us class? Becoming a member here with us, just at least saying, hey, I like this, I'm in. Where do I serve? And because this is the key. Faithful service is the key that unlocks your opportunity to change things. Let me say that again. Faithful service among us is what unlocks the opportunity to say, you know, we could do this better. All over that. Anytime there's somebody serving faithfully and they go, we might be able to do this better. We go, yeah, tell us about that. But the guy who walks in the first week, you know what you guys would have? Is that fair? People, well, why do I have to become a member? Because you're doing us the great dignity of discovering what the Lord is saying about this church. And I know we're not for everybody, because they genuinely are. Astounding churches in the city. But for the people who are called to be here, they're astounded by what's going on here. So let's get in here. And if this is not the church for you, I promise you we'll bless you. We're not going to curse you. We'll bless you. We'll help you find the church for you. But for many, many people, this is their dream come true. This is their pearl of great price. And so before you serve with us, become part of us. And that's why we do that. Our keeping our saltiness and staying true to the purpose of our planting means that you get to help us by your service. We're not joking around. I really need you. I really believe that. I watch over you as somebody has to give an account. I sincerely believe that one of the most healthy things I could demand and require and encourage and lead you towards is active service in this local body. So we're asking people, sign up for a year. Sign up in one of those grace teams. Say, you can count on me. I'm in. Serve. Because when you serve, just like Hannah said, not only will all the beauty of you serving in the church manifest in your spirit, but you'll get to connect with other people, and God will train you, and you'll learn, and you'll develop muscle, and something will go on the inside of you, ignition of life that I don't believe you can get any other way. If you have children, this is imperative. Engage your kids in service in a local church. There is nothing in my life that is as satisfying as when I put on the yoke that Jesus designed for me and I lean in to the call of God. That is where I really live. That is where my life finds congruence. And it's the same for you. Let's pray together. Father, we're asking. You said, Jesus, come to me. Take my yoke and learn from me. So here we are, Lord, coming. Would you help us, Lord? Would you aid us? We come to ask that you would prioritize our lives, that you would help our focus, and that, Lord, you would just create great freedom. Lord, if there is any bondage, any condemnation, I break it off your people. Because your yoke is easy, and it's light, it's free, and it's delightful. So, Lord, I pray for just a free, easy, delightful signing up, stepping into the yoke, and seeing God's people lean forward together. Bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.